Stay brave. You're not forgotten, and you're not alone. Until next time, Patriots, this is Free America signing out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
August number 22 in the year of our Lord 2018, and it's a very, very rainy day up here in the northern climes of New England. Kind of apropos with, I know, folks, the left is absolutely breathless and beside themselves. And now, there's a lot of things with this Cohen thing. Now, frankly, I'm going to be honest. I haven't had time to really digest everything on this yet. But what I have read so far, let me just give it a breakdown. Cohen has done... Now, there are people out there that are saying, yeah, this is a good thing, what Cohen did. No, folks. The first rule of thumb here is if somebody does what Cohen does, what are the ramifications? Now, I'm not talking about Trump. Now, there are a lot of people on the left who are going to be loving to death that Mueller got Cohen to so-called flip on Trump. That's a bad thing because it's going to come back to bite some of them. What Cohen did is he put a huge, giant hole in attorney-client privilege. Don't doubt me on this, folks. Because now he set a precedent. He's set a precedent. And in the future, when the government wants to break your attorney-client privilege, poke a hole in it, they will go back to what Mueller did to Cohen. And they'll even tell a judge, hey, Your Honor, look, they did this already. They set a precedent on it. Now, some judges may not go for it, but many will, because they're big on recent precedent. And what Cohen did is really do that. Now, Cohen testifies that Trump told him to commit a crime by paying off women. Now, hold on. Paying off women is not a crime. Do folks understand that? If you are paying somebody off to keep them quiet about an affair, as long as you did not commit a crime to commit that affair, it is not a crime to pay them. It's not. And depending on how the payment is even asked for, it's not a crime to take it. However, if you say, give me $100,000 or I'm going to go to the press, well, that's extortion or bribery. That is highly illegal. But if you say, give me $100,000 or I go to the press, and then you give them the $100,000, that's not illegal for you to give them the $100,000. Do you understand this, folks? Now, a lot of this has to be squared away, squared out. He's evidently he's willing to tell Mueller about a conspiracy to collude. Folks, this is, I don't know what Cohen is doing, but Mueller has definitely flipped somebody who doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's feeding him some garbage. Because remember, folks, we have the evidence. Mueller has the evidence already. He has the evidence already where the collusion has taken out. Now, this is where Jeff Sessions needs to come in. The Attorney General needs to take control. Now, he can recuse himself over the Trump part. But now Jeff Sessions, now this is what Trump needs to do. Jeff Sessions needs to do his job or let somebody who can do it take his place. Now, there are a lot of people that are thinking Jeff Sessions is a plant. Now, I would find it hard to believe at first. But then I was reminded of something yesterday or last night. And I was reminded about a particular saying, which is a true saying. It's not an old Chinese proverb. This is just an old saying. I don't know where it comes from, but it's the truth. Who can hurt you the most? Well, people that hurt you the most are the people that are closest to you. The closer somebody gets to you, like a family member, the more they're able to hurt you. And they're able to do it because it's the more trust you are able to give them. Now, Sessions has, for whatever reason, has been pretty tight with Trump for a while. Or so we thought. And I'm sure so did Donald. Now, a lot of people that Donald Trump has trusted has bent to the will of the swamp. The latest being Omarosa. Now, remember, him and Omarosa and President Trump go back a ways. He hired her from The Apprentice. If anybody doesn't remember. Now, he kept her around because evidently he thought she did a good job. Not because of that she was a woman, and not because she was black, and not because she was a black woman, but because he thought she did a good job. Look, I remember watching The Apprentice that year when she got the job. I always thought she was a bitch back then. I wouldn't trust her, but I didn't work with her or know her. Trump did. Now, if there's one thing that can be said about Donald Trump, is yes, he's a smart businessman, but people have said to him that he's too willing to trust people and believe the good in everybody. And look, this goes all the way back, I mean, to the 80s. People have always said that about Donald Trump. They've always said that about him. That he's a good-natured, good-hearted man. And he's probably a little too trusting of some people. And I think this is now showing up now that he's president. You have Omarosa walking into the White House into areas where she has no business bringing a recording device, let alone just recording. She has no business even, it's illegal to even bring a recording device. Recording conversations illegally in D.C. And she writes a book and everybody screams, oh, look what she did. Isn't this great? No, it's not great. She broke the law. Michael Cohen just broke the cardinal rule for lawyers. This is like your doctor just giving up information, your medical information, without your permission or without a court order, just walking around telling people. This is what evidently Michael Cohen did. Now, some of this stuff is obviously going to be made up, but Mueller's going to buy it whether it's true or not, and he's going to try to use it. Now, let me put this in plain perspective. There are no laws against collusion. The problem is that they've all built this whole thing around collusion. I've been telling people from the beginning, there is no law against collusion. It is not against the law to collude. And all the evidence points to the Democrats, the DNC, Hillary Clinton, and Obama. Everything that just other than, well, I get well, everything except paying off a couple of, Stormy Daniels because he had an affair with him. That's on the Clinton side. I don't know if Clinton ever paid off any women. We haven't looked into that yet. Bill might be guilty of the same damn thing, which is why they don't want to go back and look. But all the evidence was pointing to Hillary. Now, we know this is a railroad job, folks. We've got 33,000 missing emails. We know that this woman illegally used a back room, unsecure private server to do government business. Illegal, illegal, illegal. And you want to tell me, Mr. Cohen, that Donald Trump told you to pay some women off because he had sex with them? Well, what else do you do with a whore? You pay them. I'm not really mad at Cohen. There are a lot of people that thought that this was going to happen to begin with. As soon as Mueller got his hooks into Cohen, they believed that this was going to something like this was going to happen because Cohen is a snake. Cohen is a weak wimp. And they started on Cohen right in the beginning. Anybody remember when they were saying that Cohen was at some places and he wasn't? And he gave his passport up to prove he didn't leave the country? Anybody remember? It was a different Cohen. It was a different Michael Cohen. But remember that? And Trump said they ought to apologize. And they should start apologizing. They should start their apology tour with Michael Cohen. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Going back then. But you know what? The press didn't leave Michael Cohen alone. They knew he did not go anywhere. But do you know who stood up for Michael Cohen? Did Michael Cohen stand up for Michael Cohen? No. Then candidate Trump stood up for Michael Cohen. Cohen revealed how much of a wimp he was back then. And I could see in Donald Trump thinking, oh, geez, I thought I hired a good, strong guy. This guy's folding like a deck of cards. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I'm not dismissing the fact that something, that Trump may have done some things that may have been a little bit shady with his lawyer. All businessmen do. They may skirt some of the IRS laws, the gray areas, if you will. And we know that, hey, you're in New York City. I am sure that if they were to really, really dig into all of Donald Trump's construction projects, they're going to find that he's paid some bribes to, what's left of the Italian mafia, or he paid some extra money or funds to, one union to get in order to get the job done or something. That's New York City. He's always complained about that, by the way. He has complained about that, always. Yeah, it's ridiculous to try to get something done in New York City. Well, let me tell you something. If they are going to try to go after Donald Trump for paying off a woman because he had sex with her, well, I guess the worst that they could possibly get him with is prostitution. I'm not kidding. New York City prostitution is still illegal. So I guess... she was and is a porn star. And being a porn star usually means that you get paid to have... Well, now, just as a side note, is that a little bit funny or what? It's illegal for a man to drive around the street or pick up the phone and have a woman come over, or vice versa, a woman asking for a man, or a man asking for a man. Do they? Another side note. I'm really curious. Are there lesbian prostitutes? No, I'm serious. That's the one side of this I haven't seen before. Do women pay women for sex? I don't know. I mean, I would assume, well, it's obviously possible. I would assume that it is done. Well, I've never heard of it. Well, since I've never heard of it, that must mean that they're doing a very good job of keeping it on the down low. So maybe, you know, all the other prostitutes should take a lesson from lesbian prostitutes. In any case, I find it very interesting that you can drive around the corner, drive around the street, go to the street corner, pick up some broad. Or you could, you know, call a high-class hooker, pay her, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars for a night or two. And that's illegal. That's illegal in almost every state. But you can pay people, two people to have sex, or even one person to have sex, and film it. And now it's called pornography. And that's legal. I would suggest if you're going to start paying a hooker to have sex with you, then you might make sure that you find one that is willing to be filmed and you call it pornography. You think I'm joking? Well, pornography is legal. I do believe it's legal to film in all 50 states. And there may be a state that it might be against the law, which is why they don't film there. But I'm almost sure that it's legal in all 50 states. But in most states, prostitution is not. Well, isn't pornography nothing but prostitution? You're just filming it? So look, he had basically a whore. Again, something that Stormy Daniels back in her younger days, she was, you know, look at her back then. She was pictured. I've seen pictures. I've never seen any of her movies. That's kind of a sad thing to say, if you really want to call them movies. I've never seen any of her film. I don't watch pornography. Yes, I have seen it before. I've seen it in college. I've seen some really strange stuff and, you know, back. Yeah. Shall I say it? Yes, back in college, no, high school, I got to see Debbie Does Dallas, the original. Yay. I didn't understand what the hullabaloo behind that was. But anyway, so you have all of that kind of stuff that's going on, but that's legal to do that because they're being paid to have sex. So Donald Trump has sex with a porn star and then pays her, and the whole world comes unglued? And this is the only thing? I mean, honestly, this evidently is just pretty much all they got. This willingness to, he's willing to tell Mueller about the conspiracy to collude. Are you calling it a conspiracy now? Because we just had Rod Rosenstein not too long ago say that there was no evidence at all that any kind of Russian interference, whatever it was, had any effect or changed any vote. So what conspiracy? How exactly are you going to conspire to defraud the election system? Did Donald Trump put people out there to cheat? Well, we know that the Democrats did that. We know that in some districts in this country that there are more registered voters than eligible voters in that particular district. We know that in some districts of this country, people over the age of 100, a good number of them are still listed on the voter rolls, and some of them voted in the last election, even though they're dead. What about all that? Is that not a little collusion? We know that there have been some, how many? We don't know yet. Illegal immigrants who voted. Some have even admitted it. They've even mentioned or told people the name that they used in order to vote. And it's of a registered voter. That's identity fraud. We know that there are some legal immigrants that come here, become legal citizens, register to vote, and are told that they've already registered. Well, they know that they couldn't register before because they weren't a citizen. And we also know that many of them have found out that they were registered Democrats, even though they're Republicans. There have been stories about this stuff all over the place. Yes, believe it or not, there are some left-wing ragmags that actually do some journalism. And, of course, we have to rely on the very rare and few right-leaning newspapers to tell us the other stories. And is anybody doing anything about it? No, we're all fixated on whether or not Donald Trump paid Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet. We know the collusion is on the left. We know it was between... there has been no investigation of how Putin got his hands on, 20% of our uranium stores. There's been no investigation on how they even got it out of the country. Because, don't worry. You know, now they're not going to be able to leave. Plutonium can't leave the country. It left the country. We know this. How and why? That seems to be a little bit of a collusion plan there. How about the Bernie Sanders debacle for the nomination? We know that man was cheated out of it. Nobody's investigated. Nothing is being investigated on the left. Nothing. Even when they find the truth and the proof, they still do not investigate. They kept poking the bear, could try to find anything and everything on Trump's side. And every time they thought that they had an alleyway to go down. Folks, this is 2 years of investigation to make. This is worse than the Ken Starr investigation. You know, of course, what's going to happen next. Maxine Waters is going to come out. Impeach 45! Oh, it's back. It's going to be back. It is going to be back big time. All I can say is don't doubt me on this. I mean, there are so many holes in this. I know we don't want to do this. We don't, because this is not what the president needs to be doing. But I bet you back at the White House, Donald Trump is probably saying, I hope they go to trial with this stuff. Because if they do, I'm sure he's going to find, he's already got himself a good lawyer team. He's going to back that up like you would not believe, and they are going to blow so many holes. There are going to be Democrats because stuff is going to be said on the stand. They're not going to have any choice but to go after some of these Democrats, including Hillary Clinton. I don't know if Mueller really wants to go that route. I don't know if he really wants to go, because I guarantee you, if you think Trump's going to fold like Cohen, you better drink another cup of coffee and wake up a little bit. Because what Cohen has said really doesn't amount to much other than really putting a huge, giant hole in attorney-client privilege. And you know who's going to suffer the most for that? You and me, the little people. Don't doubt me.
You're listening to The Rod Echoes Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
There's a lot of people out there. Actually, D.C. should be scared. I know D.C.'s a buzz right now with this whole, you know, impeach stuff. Impeachment's obviously back on the table.
Do you need a car?
No. There we go. Impeachment is back on the table with all these people in D.C. right now. And let me tell you, it is... this whole thing, what Robert Mueller has done is he's cracked open a very hard nut. Now, we can thank him for that. But a lot of this stuff that he's already uncovered, that nobody's doing anything with, there is no time limit other than somebody dying. I mean, these are big crimes. There's no statute of limitations for this stuff. And statute of limitations is often quite a long period of time for many other crimes anyway. So it isn't going to be, that crime was committed 5 years ago, so it's too late now. Can't charge. No, it doesn't work that way. Look what they just did to Manafort. We're talking about charges going back more than a decade. 12 years ago. Now, speaking of Manafort, evidently he was found guilty on only 8 of the 18 charges. Now, some people are thinking, well, yeah, we got him. Actually, Mueller lost that case. The judge declared a mistrial on the other 10 counts. Mueller lost the case. What Manafort, now from what I understand, what I'm reading, Manafort now faces on the 8 counts that he was, pled guilty to, evidently he only faces a maximum of 9 years, not per count, but in toto. And I don't know, a few million dollars in fines. Now, reading how the judge has reacted to this whole trial, I'm convinced that Manafort, his attorneys, probably should have made the case to have this trial done before the judge instead of a jury. I think the judge would have probably tossed out most of these things. And at the sentencing, I think that this judge, Judge Ellis, is probably going to look for every legal means possible to give him the lightest sentence possible. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, because you can never. Now, Judge Ellis is known for being a bulldog in his courtroom and doing things procedurally and correctly. But people are saying that know this judge. Do not ever remember him being this agitated, as often, and correcting the prosecution counsel as often as he did in this trial. And the reason why the jury was, I guess, was, well, now we know they were hung up on at least 10 counts. And he kept pushing them because he didn't want there to be any way for this type of judgment to be overturned in another court, unless, of course, it was going to go Manafort's way. And he didn't really want this to come back in order to be retried. A mistrial means the prosecution can bring the charges and bring this guy back to court, and most likely won't be in front of Judge Ellis. And Judge Ellis knows this. So he really tried to pressure the jury to come back with a verdict on all 18 counts. evidently they couldn't do it. And let me tell you something. Yeah, you may have had one holdout. We don't know how they voted on each charge. But something tells me, my gut tells me, it was more than one person. Now, was it a 50-50 split? I doubt that. Maybe in some of the charges it was, because some of the charges looked like they were a stretch. I mean, even Ellis, Judge Ellis said, you sure you want to, this is a charge? What's the evidence? You know, that it's kind of weak. So, you know, and some of the stuff, it might have been just one person was saying he's guilty and wouldn't get off of it. They could have gone that way, too. I know people don't often talk about it that way. But look, there can be one holdout that says not guilty and everybody else says guilty. But just as often, it's one or two people on the other side that say guilty and everybody else says, are you crazy? It's not guilty. Look, I've been a member of a jury. I've deliberated. I know a little bit of what goes on in that room. I know personalities can clash. And I've also seen the movie, the classic 12 Angry Men. We had to watch it in high school as well as read the book. Now, that movie is dead on accurate. It gives you a giant insight into our jurisprudence system. Because what I, not that dramatic, obviously, but what I experienced in all my jury rooms was pretty much what happened in that movie. Again, not as dramatic. Nobody was, you know, well, there was one case. There was some shouting between a couple of jurors. But there really wasn't any dramatic exercise in my juries. But the deliberations, the questioning, the arguing back and forth about certain things, yeah, that goes on. And I can tell you, at least for my cases, look, I even had I was a jury member of a fairly famous local case. Had to deal with a former Concord police officer. And every newspaper in the state was watching this case. I knew nothing about it, which is probably why I was picked to be on the jury. I knew nothing about this case. Hadn't even heard of the cop before. And lo and behold, we weren't given any instructions about handling the press. We were just told, you know, obviously you can't discuss the case outside of the courtroom. Okay, fine. But I had no idea how big of a case this was until after we rendered our verdict. And the next day I saw all the headlines in the newspapers. And I'm thinking, wow, my God, what did we just do? And let me tell you, the verdict was he was on trial for police misconduct, assault, and what was the third? Is the third lesser charge? Well, we found him not guilty on all three charges. But here's the thing. Many of us on that jury thought he did it. We thought the former police officer did what he was accused of. We believed he did it. And you're probably saying, well, why didn't you find him guilty? Because the prosecution failed to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. That's why. So when those jurors are sitting in that room, they were thinking, well, did Manafort really do all of this stuff? Some of them probably thought that he did. But at the same time, they were thinking, but the prosecution didn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Remember, they asked that question about reasonable doubt. They asked the judge to explain it. And he gave them the legal definition of it. Anybody remember that? You probably, if you didn't hear it, I heard it because it was in the news. Yeah, the jury asked about reasonable doubt. So there were members in there, in that jury room, that probably sat back and thought, yeah, I believe he did this stuff. But the prosecution didn't prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. And this goes back to Judge Ellis questioning Mueller's team even before the damn trial got started, saying, you sure you want to bring this case? You're not going to use a whole bunch of tricks in my courtroom. But some of these charges are pretty damn thin. Yeah, this is what Ellis was saying. And now that has been shown to be proven to be true, because there are people that did the right thing by holding out and saying, you know what? Prosecution didn't prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. That's what is required of a guilty verdict. Why do you think our jurisprudence system says you're innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law by a jury of your peers? And then when they give a verdict, they don't bring back the verdict and say innocent. They say not guilty. Why? There is a specific reason for it. Because you did not, the prosecution did not prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt of your guilt. It didn't prove your innocence. Because you are already presumed innocent. So you cannot be found innocent. You can be found not guilty. The entire weight of your guilt rest on the prosecution, not the defense. They don't have to prove you're innocent. You're already innocent. Even if you're as guilty as a day is long in the summer, you're already presumed to be innocent. It is up to the prosecution to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you are guilty of the crimes that you are accused of. And if you do not do that as the prosecution, the jury comes back and says, well, you didn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt, so not guilty, because you're already innocent. Folks have got to really understand our jurisprudence system. Too many people don't.
Rod, you sound like a lawyer.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, and I didn't play one on TV or the radio either. But I understand our jurisprudence system. Well, yeah, I did go to law school a little bit. But that's neither here. This is something that should be taught in everyday classrooms, in high school and in middle school. This is why I always say words mean things, specific things. Our founders fully understand the meaning of words when they wrote out the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. They fully understood the meaning of words. They didn't just use particular words because they sounded good. They used particular words for a specific reason because of their specific meaning. And nowhere is that more evident than in our court system. You are presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury of your peers. Thus, if the prosecution does not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you are guilty, then the only verdict that can be rendered by word choice is not guilty. Because let me repeat this. You are already innocent. So therefore, you cannot be found to be innocent. And if somebody says, yeah, I was found innocent in a court of law. No, that's a lie. You are found not guilty. Big difference. Huge. Because what if somebody actually did do the crime? This has happened. Somebody really did do the crime, but they were found not guilty. Does that mean they're innocent? Oh, hell no, they're not innocent. But they're not guilty. Because the onus is on the state or the prosecution to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you were the perpetrator of said accused crime. And any time that there is a reasonable doubt, you must find the defendant not guilty, even if in your heart of hearts you believe they did it. Again, with that police officer, former police officer, many of us believe the cop did what he was accused of. Prosecution failed to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. By the way, it didn't take us more than a day. I think it was less than 4 hours of deliberations when we came back with a not guilty verdict. I think the longest I've sat in a court in a jury room is probably just over 6 hours. So I haven't been on a case where it's been a, you know, I had to go back day after day after day. I've been on a case when the trial lasted 3 days, but it didn't take us that long to come back with a verdict. In that particular case, the long 3 day trial, it was a sensitive subject, so I'm not going to really say too much about it, other than we did find a defendant guilty. One charge, guilty. But it took us a while, because there were some doubts. That's why it took us so long. We had to go over everything. And in the end, you know, at the beginning, we had a couple of holdouts that you know, that were, well, I don't know if he's guilty. I mean, we had to go over all of those questions. And when we got to a point where we agreed on some of those points, then somebody else would say, but now that they said that, this brings up this question. And we had to go over all of that. And I'm sure that's exactly what was going on in the Manafort jury room. And they may have come to an agreement on one, but then they would say, well, wait a minute. Well, that brings up this issue. And then again, you could have, there's always a spoiler. You could have had one person, just one person who said, you know what? I don't care. I believe he did it. He's guilty. And the other 11 would be saying, well, no, he's not guilty. Beyond a reasonable doubt. I don't care. Guilty. We've known that there have been cases like that. So it's not, I mean, everybody's assuming that, oh, maybe there's one or two holdouts that just, you know, wanted to find him not guilty. Notice how the news, because the lamestream media doesn't want to think about the other side. Maybe everybody wanted to say he was not guilty, but there was one holdout saying that he was guilty. For whatever reason. Now, you are supposed to use certain procedure in a jury room, but when you're in the jury room, the 12 of you are gods. Or this, you know, six or seven of you, doesn't matter. Whatever the size of the jury is at, for whatever the crime is. It's usually 12. Sometimes in some cases it can be, well, I think, six or seven, but it's usually 12. You know, they're the gods in there. You know, whatever they do or say is what goes. Now, you can tell a person, well, you got to only go by the... Why do you think lawyers oftentimes say things and then say withdrawn? And the jurist is not supposed to consider that, but let me tell you something. You think about it, and it has already set in motion your feeling or swayed your feelings one way or the other. It's why they do it, folks. It's a human emotion trick. And evidently, there was a lot of that going on in the Manafort trial. The judge got a little sick of it. But you can't, you know, a juror says, well, yeah, I was thinking about that. But so? You're probably thinking, but they weren't supposed to. Too late, too bad. They're not breaking any laws in there by having that in the back of their mind and that being a cause for them to lean one way or the other, guilty or not guilty. You can't bring a jurist up on charges on that. You can't retry a trial because of that. It's why they pull these tricks. Lawyers do this kind of crap all the time. And quite frankly, when you're sitting in a real court, trust me, there's a lot more objections going on than you see on television. The first trial where we found the 3-day thing, I think it took 3 days because there were so many damn objections and sidebars. Honestly. That's probably why it took 3 days. So what you see, and no, it doesn't go as smoothly as you see on TV either. But are the dramatics like that on TV? Oh yeah, they can be worse. Yeah, in a courtroom. They're not so polished with their questions and answers. But the dramatics of it, oh yeah. I'll give television, they got that down. But the reality is they object far more often than I've ever seen any TV courtroom or movie courtroom movie thing ever do. And sidebars, too. I swear to you, that is why it took 3 damn days for this trial. Probably could have been done in a day and a half, half the time that it took. There were so many objections and sidebars. I thought we'd all lose our place, lose track of what the hell was going on. Because there were so many objections. Well, you can't strike that from the record and blah. You know better, you know, counselor and blah, blah, blah. What, really? On both sides, by the way. Not just one side. Both sides. There was one point at the end of day two when the defense attorney, he objected to something that the prosecution said, and then he said sidebar, and I heard at least half the jury go, oh. And the judge got a smirk on his face because of it. I mean, he heard it. That was a little bit of levity for that one. But, yeah, the second day of trial, you know, the objection, Your Honor. Your Honor, sidebar. Oh. I think we'd had enough. But yeah, that's how bad it can get in real life because of the games. You see, folks, a lot of times it really isn't about whether or not you are guilty or not guilty or innocent or not. And it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with politics and playing the game. And understand, this is why it's so important to understand what Cohen just did. He just put a game piece on the side of the prosecution against every one of us. The government now has more power. You have less. The government just said, well, you know what? Attorney-client privilege isn't this solid wall. It's kind of plasticky and porous. And if we can come up with some sort of scenario that's similar to this, we can, you know, poke through that porous wall of attorney-client privilege when it's supposed to be a solid wall, folks. It's no longer solid. And it won't take long before that starts bleeding down into everyday society and affecting you and me on a regular basis. You want to play politics and you want to get to somebody really bad? Squeeze the lawyer. Let me tell you something. I've heard lawyers around here talking about all of this stuff, about this whole Trump thing. They don't like it. They don't like it because now they fully understand whenever they take on a client, they're also going to be the suspect. You people on the left think you've done something wonderful. You've just helped further break our legal system. Oh, yeah. Congratulations. You got Donald Trump.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with